ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु
अभद्रेषु
नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतिरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय गोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 18 वर्स नंबर 32 चैप्टर इज टाइटल्ड एज द रेजिडेंट्स ऑफ जम्बुद्वीप ऑफर प्रेयर्स टेक्स्ट 32 जरायुजं स्वेदजमण्डजोद्भिदम् चराचरं देवर्षि पितृभूतमैन्द्रियम् द्यौःखं क्षितिः शैलसरित्समुद्र द्वीपग्रह ग्रहर्क्षेत्यभिधेय एकः जरायुजं स्वेदजमण्डजोद्भिदम् चराचरं देवर्षि पितृभूतमैन्द्रियम् द्यौःखं क्षितिः शैलसरित्समुद्र द्वीपग्रहर्क्षेत्यभिधेय एकः जरायुजं स्वेदजमण्डजोद्भिदम् चराचरं देवर्षि पितृभूतमैन्द्रियम् द्यौःखं क्षितिः शैलसरित्समुद्र द्वीपग्रहर्क्षेत्यभिधेय एकः Word to word meaning. Jarayujam. One born from a womb. Svedajam. One born from perspiration. Andaja. One born from an egg. Udbhidam. One born from the earth. Characharam. The moving and the stationary. Deva. The demigods. Rishi. The great sages. Pitra. The inhabitants of Pitraloka. Bhutam. The material elements. Air. Air, fire, water, and earth. Aindriyam, all the senses. Dyauhu, the higher planetary systems. Kham, the sky.
Kshitihi,
the earthly planets. Shaila,
the hills and mountains. Sarit,
the rivers.
Samudra,
the oceans.
Dvipa,
the islands.
Graha Raksha,
the stars and planets. Iti,
thus,
Abhidheyaha, to be variously named.
Ekaha,
one. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. My dear Lord, you manifest your different energies in countless forms as living entities born from wombs, from eggs and from perspiration, as plants and trees that grow out of the earth, as all living entities both moving and standing, including the demigods, the learned sages and the pitas, as outer space, as the higher planetary system containing the heavenly planets, and as the planet Earth with its hills, rivers, seas, oceans and islands. Indeed, all the stars and planets are simply manifestations of your different energies. But originally, you are one without a second. Therefore, there is nothing beyond you. This entire cosmic manifestation is therefore not false, but is simply a temporary manifestation of your inconceivable energy. Purport. This verse completely rejects the theory of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, which states that spirit or Brahman is real, whereas the manifested material world with its great variety of things is false. Nothing is false. One thing may be permanent and another temporary, but both permanent and temporary are facts. For example, if someone becomes angry for a certain period, no one can say that his anger is false. It is simply temporary. Everything we experience in our daily life is of this same character. It is temporary but real. The different kinds of living entities coming from various sources are very clearly described in this verse. Some are born from a womb, and some, like certain insects, from human perspiration. Others hatch from eggs, and still others sprout from the earth. A living entity takes birth under different circumstances, according to his past activities, karma. Although the body of the living entity is material, it is never false. No one will accept the argument that since a person's material body is false, murder has no repercussions. Our temporary bodies are given to us according to our karma, and we must remain in our given bodies to enjoy the pains and pleasures of life. Our bodies cannot be called false. They are only temporary. In other words, the energy of the Supreme Lord is as permanent as the Lord Himself, although His energy is sometimes manifest and sometimes not. As summarized in the Vedas, Sarvam Khalvidam Brahma, everything is Brahman. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sadrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधरा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा, वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर टुडेज डिस्कशन ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम। दिस कैंटो एज वी नो इज टॉकिंग अबाउट अ पर्टिकुलर एस्पेक्ट of the 10 topics that Srimad Bhagavatam covers, and the main topic that this canto covers is sthanam. Sthanam is the place where this material creation is taking place. So the concept also, sometimes you will see majority of the concept is to understand that sthanam, the place where all the field of activities is taking place, is actually not different from the lot in one sense. So that is the abhideya and the that is the Bheda and Abheda type understanding of the Supreme Lord, that he is different from this material energy, but the material energy is not different in one sense. So therefore the sthanam itself is one sense, the Lord holds everything. He is the Dharana Shakti also, through his energies he holds it. So this verse is quite interesting in the sense that Jambudvipa residents are offering prayers to Lord Hayagriva, the Supreme Lord, and we also saw that how they also were saying that everything is held by the Kurma avatar. Now when I was contemplating, it's quite interesting, because what is the biggest quest for the physicists today? What is the biggest quest that they are after for the physicists who are studying the material world? What is their biggest quest? What do they want to understand?
Life on other planets.
Okay. What about this planet? What do they want to know about this planet? They want to know how did the planet originate from. Is it not?
So they are doing this. They want to know where did this virus came from.
It's probably come from Mars. So. The biggest quest is to find out what is the origin of this universe. We know from 10 years ago they have created a laboratory in CERN. It's an underground cauldron. It's a big, it's called as a CERN laboratory. Where they are trying to bombard an atomic particle and do some experiments to find out what is the root cause of this universe. Very, very interesting. So that is their biggest quest.
Actually, they are trying to find out what is the cause of this mass.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's called God particle.
Correct. So what is the cause of the mass? So that is the biggest quest that they are understanding. But this prapancha, this world is called as karana prapancha in Shastra, or it is called as an effect of some cause. Right. So the problem of the scientists is, they want to study and find the cause of anything, be it mass or the origin of the particle or whichever particle they are understanding. But the problem is, their focus is on the effect only. How can you find the cause by studying just the effect? Yeah. For example, if you see, what is the cause of this book? If you say, what is the cause of this book? And we ask like that, what will be the answer? Cause means, what is it made of, in one sense. So what is the constituents of that book? It's made of paper. Then what is the cause of paper?
You would say
wood. What is the cause of wood?
You would say it's
tree. What is the cause of a tree?
You would say
seed. So therefore, there are concomitant causes for every effect. Right? So they want to find out what is the root cause of this effect, the entire material existence. To find the root cause, we have to understand that we have to go beyond the effect to study the cause. Is it not? You have to go beyond the effect. Because you can't still be at the effect and try to study the cause. The cause have to be beyond the effect. Because the effect is just cause as because of the cause. Whatever has caused this. So to study to study the pages of a book, you have to study what is pages made of. It is made of wood. So what is wood made of? Okay, it's made of a tree. Then what is tree made of? So you have to go and finally zero in on that ultimate cause, which is the cause of all causes. So this is where they have caught. First of all, they are studying the effect, which is they are studying the particle, which is again an atom, which is an effect. They are studying that particle with another effect called the human body and the human brain. Because we are also effect of this material universe. In one sense, the body what we have, the eyes that we have, the ears that we have, this is also an effect of this material cosmos. So you are studying the effect with an effect, you will never find a cause. But what is interesting is, this is the exact study what the Shastras also do. The Shastras also study the cause and they also study the effect. But how they study is different. They know that the effect and the cause are different. So to study the effect, I have to study the cause. So their focus is to study only the cause. Sorry, that's my to switch it off. The cause of the sound. So what do they do? They are very aware that if I have to study the cause, I should not study the effect and I should not use the same faculties of the effect to study the cause. For example, I should not be studying the effect with my eyes, with my ears, with my mortal things that I have, my brain also. I can't study an effect with my limited brain because my brain has limited capacity. So what do? They resort to something which doesn't have any cause. Therefore, Vedas are called as apaurusheya. Therefore, this concept actually doesn't exist anywhere in this universe except the Vedas. There is no concept of something coming and doesn't have a cause of anything. So Vedas say apaurusheya. There is no material cause for Vedas. That is why it is called as apaurusheya. So then the scientists, so-called scientists, which is our sages, pick up this method and then study the cause. That is how they study. And what do? You know, in today's science, we see in YouTube, there are a lot of interviews that is conducted. We saw Brajaraj Prabhu also give an interview recently from his company, as representing a CEO of his company. So we all give interviews, you know. So in the same way, these interviews are captured. So Bhagavatam also is an interview going on. So Maitreya Rishi asked with Parashara Muni, Vidura asked with Maitreya Rishi, Narada Muni asks Brahmaji. So there is an interview going on. But problem is there is no video captured and there is no YouTube channel there. But the channel that we have is Bhagavata Purana or Srimad Bhagavatam. So similarly, there was an interview between Parachara Muni and Maitreya Rishi many, 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 many years ago. So Maitreya Rishi questions Parachara Bhatta. You know who is Parachara Bhatta or Parachara Muni? He is the father of
Vedavyasa.
So he is the father of Vedavyasa. So Maitreya Muni asks, Yanmayam cha jagat brahman yatascaitat characharam linyam masid yathayatra layameshti yatra cha. So he's asking same question what the scientists are asking. What is the world made of? Yanmayam cha jagat brahman. Yanmayam means mayam. Mayam means what? Mrinmayam, svarnmayam, chelamayam we say. Mayam means what is it made of? Mayam. So Yanmayam cha jagat brahman. What is it made of? Where do these animate and inanimate beings come from? Yatascha itat characharam. Yatascha itat characharam. Chara means that which moves. Acharam means that which doesn't move. So if you see in this verse, characharam devarshi pitra bhutam aindriyam. So where are these animate and inanimate objects coming from or beings coming from? Linyam asid yatha yatra. Into what is it brought into dissolution and into what does it dissolve? How is it manifested and into what does it dissolve? This is the question that Maitreya Rishi is asking Parashara Bhatta. So there is an interview going on. And now Parashara Muni asks, now we understood that. Now what is interesting in this question is, this is the same question that the scientists are trying to find out. What is this entire world made of? That means, what is the root cause of this universe? Can you please tell me, what is this made of? I am seeing trees. If you see here, there is Jarayujam, Svedajam, Andodvijam, Characharam, Devarshi, Pitra, Bhutam, Aindriyam, Dyauhu, Kham, Kshitihi, Shaila, Sarit, Samudra. So many objects are there in this material manifestation. What are they made of? Are they all made of one thing? Or are they all made of disparate causes? Are there disparate causes for this? Or does all these disparate causes get into one? That is what it is. Abhideya ekaha. Is it one cause for all of this? That is what the question is. Yanmayam cha jagat brahman. So, therefore, give me that common cause. What is that common cause for everything that exists today? Whatever I am seeing, whatever I cannot see, whatever I can perceive, whatever I cannot perceive. Is there a common cause for it? Now, these are the type of questions that Shastras ask. You know. So, therefore, we can see that Shastras are also not fantasy stories or blind beliefs. In fact, in the Chandogya Upanishad, in the Vedas, also there is a similar interview. This is an interview between a father and a son. You all know the story between Shvetaketu and Uddalaka. Said Uddalaka is the father of Shvetaketu. Shvetaketu finishes his 12 years of Vedic study and he comes back from the Gurukul, from the university. So he is a recent graduate, new grad. So the father notices that he is very proud. He is walking with his head chin up because he has got that cap on his head. That he has become a doctorate, whatever bachelor's degree he has got. So, Shvetaketu asks, "My dear son, did you read everything in the university? Did you read about that common cause which is the important cause for everything that exists? Yudatam adesham aprekshaha yenashrutam shrutam bhavati atam avignatam vignatam iti." He's asking. Yutatam adesham apraksha yenashrutam shrutam bhavati. Whatever you see, whatever is manifest, whatever is not manifest, have you realized and understood that one cause? Did you study all of that in the 12 years of study? Shvetaketu scratches his head. What is that? I didn't know. And he says, "I think the teacher did not know about it. So he's not taught me all of that." So his pride is coming. So again, this interaction in the Vedas is for us to understand that this knowledge cannot be understood by pride. This knowledge cannot. So, we see in the last 300 years of history, lot of British and German historians tried to study the Vedas. One of the predominant, if you see even today, English translation of the Vedas. Whom do people study? Which English translation people study of the Vedas? Who is the author? Max Müller. Max Müller is the guy who has translated majority of this. So he also had an interest to translate the Vedas. But the problem there was, his interest was to decry the scriptures. Because his intent was not to understand the scriptures, he will never understand the Vedas. So that common cause will never be revealed to him. Although he might learn Sanskrit, he might read the Vedas top down everywhere, because his intent was not pure, the knowledge will not reveal to him. So that cause will never be revealed. So that is the beauty of the Shastra. So many people, we have Ferdinand Russell, so many people tried to explore the Vedas, but their only intent was to see, somehow or the other I want to decry the Vedas. I have to see my knowledge, where I come from is better, the Vedas are useless. So because their approach was like that, they never were able to understand it. So therefore the Shastras also say this, that how do you have to approach this knowledge? What is the mood with which we have to approach to understand the common cause? Now that's why in the Shastras they talk about there is a philosophy, or it is called as epistemology. In philosophy it's called that is the study of knowledge itself. What is knowledge? How do I acquire knowledge? It's called epistemology. In the Shastras it is called as karana jnana. So you must have heard about upadana karana, nimitta karana, sahakari karana, all of that. There is a deep study of finding the cause of all causes itself. You know, so simply Brahmaji puts, sarva karana karanam, govindam, adi purusham, sarva karana karanam. One, two lines, you know, Brahmaji summarizes. But the Shastri people go deep into studying the karana tattva. Why does Bhagavatam talk about karana? Why does Brahmaji talk about karana? We know that the Lord is the karana or the cause of this material universe. But why is it even important to study this? Many times we know, as devotees, we think it is not so important to study about creation. If you really see in the Bhagavatam itself, by the time we come to third canto, creation is discussed at least 3-4 times. We were reading right now in the Bhakti Vaibhav, we are reading the 20th chapter of the third canto. Just before Maitreya Rishi had already explained about creation to Vidura Muni, again he repeats the creation in the 20th chapter. He runs a rundown version of the creation. So why does Bhagavatam talk about this? Because unless we cannot appreciate the Jagat around us, the magnanimous creation around us, we cannot understand that the Lord is beyond this creation. If we cannot come to the position of appreciating this magnanimous creation and the complexity in the design, we cannot understand that Krishna is beyond this creation. So this is called as Karanam to Dhyayat. Worshipping the Lord as the Karanamastu, as the Jagat Karanamastu, He is the responsible, He is the medium, He is the reason, He is the cause of this material existence. Because of without which this material existence cannot exist. So therefore, Bhagavatam repeatedly talks about Krishna as the Jagat Karanamastu also. And repeatedly, creation is discussed. And what Karana He is? Now generally when we study Karana, the science of Karana, there are three karanas that come under. One is the upadana karana. Let's take the example of someone making a pot, you know, a potter making a pot. What does a potter use to make a pot? Clay. Clay. That clay is called as upadana karana or the material cause. Yeah? Now compare it with the universe. What is this universe made of? What is the material cause for this universe? Is matter? Is it pradhan? Is it mula prakriti? All that is true, but actually the material cause also is Krishna only. That material cause is an emanation of His energy. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate se taracham daivyeshi gunamai mama maya duratkaya. So all this matter, the universe is nothing but a mixture of all the three modes, which in its unmixed state is pradhan. That pradhan also is an energy of the Lord only. Pradhan also is an energy of the Lord, but a separated energy of the Lord. So in that sense, Krishna Himself is also the material cause. In fact, if you go to Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they say that this material universe is a part of the body of the Lord. They talk about the sthula Brahman, that is that who see the material universe as the body of the Lord, which is called as the, what is it called as? The material universe or the universal form of the Lord.
In Canto 3 it is there, no? Universal form and comparing different
things. And everything comes from Him in one sense. Nimitta Karana, then that is called as efficient cause. So when a potter is making a pot, the potter himself is the Nimitta Karana. That means he is a sentient cause. He is the one who desires to make a pot and therefore he is making a pot. So in the same way, Krishna is the Nimitta Karana. He desires to create this world and therefore he creates the world. With what does he create the world? He creates with his own energy. That is Nimitta Karana. And then Sahakari Karana. You know, the potter rotates the wheel with a stick. That stick is called as Sahakari Karana. So when he creates this material universe, what does the Lord use? Does he use a stick? No, he uses his own energy. So the Lord himself is the Sahakari Karana. So when it comes to the universe, he is all of this three. He is the Nimitta Karana, he is the Upadana Karana, he is the Sahakari Karana also. So this is how the Shastra study, the causal, the study of the causes in one sense. So when all of this has been asked, the Upanishads come to an answer of who is the ultimate cause. The ultimate cause, it is also written in the Upanishads, it is said, Yatova imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat pravanti abhisham vasanti tad vignasasva tad brahmeti. So Taittiriya Upanishad says, the entire creation that we see, the cause is Brahma, Brahman or Tad Brahmeti. Brahmeti means, who is Brahmeti then? Who is Brahmeti? Then you have to refer Bhagavad Gita. Brahman is the cause, they say. Who is Brahman? Krishna says, Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti. Krishna says, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, that I am the cause of Brahman. So therefore you have to see how the Shastras go, try to study the cause. The cause is Brahman. Who is the cause of Brahman? Vishnu Strutrini Rupani, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, 20.251, the verse 251 says, if we study the cause, that three Vishnus are the cause of this material universe, one can get liberated out of this. So therefore, the cause of this material universe is the three Vishnus. Then these three Vishnus come from where? Come from Sankarsana. And then if you study the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, you will see finally it goes up to the absolute truth, which Prabhupada introduces as that cowherd boy Krishna. So finally the reason, the ultimate reason, the karana is Krishna. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajam. Sarva Karana Karanam. So this is how the Shastras try to find the root cause of everything that exists. Now there is another interesting study that one of the Puranas also states, and what one of the study that the Purana does is in the Skanda Purana. Now see the scientists and the sages. The scientists want to study one thing by which they can understand everything, correct? They want to find out that one particle called as God particle. If I know the God particle, I will know God. I don't know why they call it as God particle, because they don't believe in God, but they still called it God particle. Because it was one way to...
They called Higgs boson.
Yeah.
See, other reporters, they just called God particle. It looks exciting to the public.
Okay. Probably they wanted to reduce God to a particle. So that is an agenda.
The particle of a God. They think of how God must be.
Okay. It's interesting if they can think like that. It's very nice. So Prabhu is saying,
the media
if a particle is a particle of God, think how God must be. Interesting.
How
big God must be. That is nice. So therefore they are looking for one thing. Ekaha, abhideya ekaha. Here, in the Skanda Purana, there is a verse which says, ekam cha tattvato jnatum vina sarvajnata naram. If you want to study one thing, Skanda Purana says, if you want to study one thing, without the knowledge of everything, you cannot know one thing in complete. Does it make sense? If you want to know one atom or one electron or one neutron completely, you have to know everything. Vina sarvagnatanaram na samarto mahendropi tasmat sarvatra jignasaye. Unless until we know everything, you will not know even one thing completely. Or if you know one thing completely, then you will know everything. This is what Skanda Purana means. Does it make sense? Now see the difference between modern scientists and science, and science of the Shastras. If you know one thing, you can know everything. Or if you want to know one thing completely, you have to know everything. Otherwise you cannot understand even one electron completely, because there are multiple dimensions in which you have to understand. Nanophysics, one of the physics, if you study the detailed study of cosmos and time travel, especially the study of black holes, they want to study black holes. And the biggest problem with science, now the irony of science is, black holes exist in a dimension which science can't even perceive. It exists in at least 12 dimensions. At the moment we have 2 or 3 dimensions that we study. If you have to study black hole, you have to go beyond 12 dimensions. Now there are, think about infinite dimensions. So if you have to study one electron, when I was in the school, I know that atom had nucleus, electron and proton. Nucleus had neutrons. Finish story. Today, they have found there are more than 12 things inside a neutron, a nucleus. There are 12 different things. Prabhu might add a little more.
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay. Prabhu is showing his ability. But as they go future and further, they will find infinite number of things in a neutron. So they will never be able to find anything fully. They will never be able to understand an atom fully. So therefore, Shastra says, if you want to understand one thing, you have to understand everything. Otherwise, you will not be able to understand anything.
If you understand everything, everybody will become jobless. So
it's
better not to understand.
Not really, because we don't need a job then. So therefore, Shastra says, what is that everything that you need to understand, or what is that one thing you need to understand by which you can understand everything? That tad brahmeti, that is Krishna. Jagat karanamastu is Krishna. That one thing from which, who is the ultimate cause of every cause, if I understand him, then I will be able to understand everything. So this is how Prabhupada says, if you know Krishna, you know everything. Put that one next to all zeros. That one, ekaha, is Krishna. So that is what this verse is talking about, that there may be so many forms. Now, in this verse, the first verse is talking about 4 jiva jati, means 4 types of creation. What is that? That which is born of a womb, that which is born of sweat or perspiration, swedajam, that which is born of andaja, andaja means that which is born of an egg, and the fourth one is udvijam, that which is born of earth. Now, science again has a big problem here. Science in the study of so-called theory of evolution, our great Mr. Richard Dawkins, now they study evolution and how species have evolved. They thought single-cell organism evolved and finally they became amphibians and then mammals evolved. So they were single-celled organisms which were manifesting themselves. They were dividing themselves and forming many bacteria and amoeba. And then they started laying eggs when they became fishes. And then after laying eggs, they became and evolved up to laying mammals, which were giving birth like a womb, like humans. But again, they had a problem. Recent. What was the problem? When they came to lizards, lizards sometimes give eggs and sometimes give direct birth also. That was a confusion to them. Now they can't explain. So there is another theory to cover that the flaw. Because they thought evolution, once there is evolution, we have come to a mammal, then you can give birth directly. Someone can give birth directly without the requirement of an egg. But in the case of a lizard can give an egg or sometimes directly give birth to a offspring. So they had a confusion. Oh, maybe the lizard has not evolved or probably is in the process of evolving. That's why it's doing both. So the evolution has a strategy. So they try to cover up their shortcomings. But here, it's very clear. Bhagavatam is saying there can be offsprings that can come from four different reasons. What is that? Jarayuyam. Jarayu means one born from a womb, like humans. Svedajam. I spent a lot of time understanding this. What can be created out of perspiration? What can come out of perspiration? What's interesting, you know, the companies which produces deodorant, they recently found out that people smell because of sweat. It's not because of sweat, because sweat ultimately is just salt water. But it is because of the bacteria that takes birth in the sweat. So that's what Prabhupada writes. Like certain insects from human perspiration. So this is talking of bacteria. That is one understanding. Second understanding is, if the weather is humid and moist, what will happen? Naturally, fungus and bacteria thrive in a moist environment, in a humid environment. So therefore, people here keep bottled water in cool temperatures so that they don't create warmer temperatures for bacteria to thrive. So therefore, Shastra is already talking of Svedajam, that living entities which are born of sweat. Sweat means what? Why does it say sweat? Sweat doesn't only mean perspiration of the human beings. When is sweat created?
The condition is like humidity.
Correct. And how is humidity created? Because of heat and water. Is it not? So therefore, these two elements, what is that? Upper, which is water, ojas, water, and agni. They two mix together to give rise to this. That's what Prabhupada in one of the morning walks, Pushtakrishna Prabhu asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada, you have said in Bhagavatam that there are organisms which take birth of human, which take birth in sweat or perspiration. So what type of living organisms take birth out of sweat? So Prabhupada says, every mayam, what is it made of? We have a human body. What is this human body made of? Five elements. Panchabhutas again. So it is five becoming one. Five elements becoming one body. And then death means one body becoming five elements. Simple. Five become one, one become five. Simple. That is what is called Janma and Mrityu. Actually, there is nothing called as birth and death in Shastra. In Sanskrit, there is no word for birth. Jayante, Janma, Najayate. Ja is the root word of Dhatu, or Dhatu part of Janma. Janma means Ja. Ja means to appear. Or it is the amalgamation of matter and spirit. Simple. When a spirit enters matter, it forms a piece of lump of mud and slowly a human body evolves. Or slowly all of these species evolve. Jarayuyam, Svedajam, Andajam, Udbhijam. There are so many bodies that evolve because of a spirit which goes into the matter. And then just as a potter makes a pot comes out. And sometimes this form, sometimes the form of an animal, sometimes the form of a Udbhijam. Udbhijam means if you put green moong sprouts in water, a green moong dal in water, automatically moong dal sprouts and then a plant comes out. Because water and earth, seed is made of earth. Water and earth combine to udbhijam. to sprout. A life is impregnated into through the water. And then an earth sprouts. And earth is, means the seed, basically. So earth doesn't mean just clay. Our bodies are made of earth also. Earth means the element, earth, panchabhutas. So this four, the prayers, Jambudvipa people are praying that all of these forms which emanate, the characha, the trees, the udbidam, the plants, the insects, the people who are born by as mammals, like humans or mammalian fishes, all these four type of living entities, and characharam, the trees that move, acharam, I mean, sorry, not trees don't move, they move in one direction. These trees and plants, devarshi, the devatas, pitra, bhutam, aindriyam. So the prayers, they are saying that all of these forms are manifest only because as a manifestation of your energy. Prabhupada starts this purport talking about Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Why does Prabhupada start this purport with this? Why does Prabhupada start with talking about monism?
I want to identify fundamental false misconception.
Why is there a misconception in this verse?
Because we have to understand misconception as well to understand what they do.
Yeah, there is a catch in the verse. Sometimes Bhagavatam speaks like this. Puranas, this is Puranic language. That's why it's very important to understand the language in the Puranas. Puranas doesn't speak literally sometimes. We have to understand the Bhasha Traya of the Puranas. Here, it said so many things, right? It talked about Jarayuyam, Characharam, Yohu, Kham, Kshitihi, Sarit, Shalila, Samudra. All of this, Abhideya Ekaha, it said. All of this is one. Right? So suddenly the monists will jump into the picture. We told you everything is one. So therefore Prabhupada starts, hang on. Everything is one. Everything is one means what? Everything, the basis of everything is one. Not that everything is one. Therefore, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Everything is one, but this material world is illusion. Only Him is one. That Brahmam is one. So therefore, everything is false. So Prabhupada starts with decrying the monists. Why? Because there is a word of ekaha here. That is why Prabhupada starts here to say Brahma, that it doesn't mean that Brahman alone is satyam. Everything is satyam. Everything is truth. The difference is this is anityam, ashashvatam. Nitya means what? Constant. Anitya means non-constant. Shashvatam means what? Eternal. Ashashvatam means transient. So, this material world also is a fact, but it is a transient fact. That's what Prabhupada is saying. That's why he starts with the purport, said Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, which states spirit is real, whereas manifested material world is false. It is wrong. Everything is true. Our experiences with matter, it's all true. Why it is true? Prabhupada tells it in the second purport. Now, out of my inquisitive brain, I spent 2 hours watching a video. The video was presented by a scientist. The topic was nothing. It took him 2 hours with lot of graphs, colors, diagrams to explain him what it means, nothing. Finally, he said, nothing means, he put a paragraph of half a page. Nothing means the particle that creates beyond time, space and dimension, blah, 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 blah. That is nothing. Can you imagine? Nothing means, he went on to explain so many things. Is it not something? How can it be nothing? If he's taking so much trouble to explain nothing, that must be something. How can you call it nothing? Why are you giving it a name? Nothing. So there is nothing called as nothing in this universe. There has to be something. So therefore, nothing is false. Everything is true. Because everything is coming from that one thing which is Krishna. That one truth which is Krishna. So how can false things emanate from Krishna? Yet Prabhupada, sometimes we see in the scriptures, we say it is illusion. Illusion is because it's not that it is false, but it is just, it is anitya. It is transient. That is why it is said as false. Now, why do they talk about so many features and what is that ekaha? In the Gajendra Moksha prayers, Gajendra also prays like that. Aru Rupaya. Aru Rupaya means you don't have a form and yet you have millions of forms. He prays to the Lord like that. So what it means is, In this verse, all of this are enabled. Prabhupada writes, all of this are manifestations of your different energies. Now think about it. When a jiva enters the womb of a mother, does the jiva manifest the body, or the mother manifest the body, or the Lord is the one who manifests the body? Who is the cause of that body?
All three in one sense.
Is the body growing because of the jiva inside, or is the body growing because of the Lord inside?
Both.
But the ultimate reason is?
Lord.
Because of the Lord inside. He's the ultimate cause. When the Lord exits the body, the jiva also has to exit the body. The body is working, I'm able to speak, I'm able to vibrate my vocal cords. It's only because the Lord is helping me to vibrate the vocal cords. So this is the meditation, how the sages see that to see the Lord as the Jagat Karana was to see the Lord as the cause of all causes. And to see that the jiva is not an independent cause. Ahameva sameva agre nanyat yat sadasat param. The verse that Chatushloki Bhagavatam, which talks about first Chatushloki Bhagavatam, it is talking that although the jivas have free will, they don't have free action. There is a difference between talking about free will and action. Willing, jiva can will, but he can't do anything. He is asamartha. Sarva samartha is only Krishna. He can only move this material body. He can only move everything. It is said, there's a beautiful pastime. We all know Damodar's pastime, right? Damodar Leela. When Yashoda Maya tied Lord Krishna to the grinding mortar, Krishna started moving and she went away into the kitchen. So Krishna started moving, and Krishna actually was very tiny to the grinding mortar. It is said that the mortar was quite big and Krishna was just a little boy who was tied to the grinding mortar. And after Mother Yashoda goes away, it is a huge wooden mortar, right? It's very difficult to move. Krishna starts to move with the grinding mortar. And one of the Acharya writes that from a distance, we could see the grinding mortar roll. It was moving like this, a huge mortar. Krishna was not visible there because Krishna was a tiny child. But somebody seeing that, they could see the mortar move. You know, it's a huge mortar moving like that. It's moving like that. But then if you really see, then there is Krishna who is crawling on the ground like that. So in the same way, we might have huge bodies. The elephant body, the blue whale body, huge bodies. The jiva do not have any capacity to move it. When paralysis strikes to the body, the jiva wants to move. Can it move? It can't move. So then who was moving it? It was the Lord through the agency of the devatas who was moving the body. So therefore the Acharyas write, just as we all move this huge body, the gigantic body which is the mortar, it cannot move if that tiny Paramatma, Anuvaraniyan Mahato Mahiyan, Yo Vidadadika. So if there is no Lord, there is no Paramatma inside, this body cannot move. So therefore, all of these is only made possible because the Lord is spread inside all of us as different forms. So all of this is His forms only. When we see a form of a hog, the Lord is there inside it as a form of a hog to function as a hog. Otherwise, a jiva cannot function as a hog. The Lord is there in an elephant, in the form of an elephant, to function as an elephant. So all of these material universes, the shapes, the species, they're all a manifestation of the Lord's forms. Anekavatra nayanam, bahupadam. Arjuna says, I am seeing many legs, many eyes, when he sees the material form of the Lord, or the universal form of the Lord. What does it mean? Every eyes, every body, every species actually is a form of a Lord. So therefore he is unlimited in that sense. If you see the material universe, the Lord enters the material universe and then makes everything alive. Yontah pravishya mamavacham imam prasuktam. Dhruva Maharaj prays like that. That you have entered into me and activated all my functions. So in the same way, the Lord has entered into the material universe and made it alive. Now this is the outer cosmos theory. Now talk about the inner cosmos. The moment the jiva enters the womb of a mother, the Lord enters the jiva and enables the activities of the jiva. So therefore, you know, in our practice it is said that the pregnant woman comes to the temple, she need not pay obeisances to the Lord in one sense. Why? Because she is carrying the Lord in her womb. What is the Lord? People think it is the child that they are talking about. It is not the child. It is the Lord within the child that she is carrying. Therefore, if you come to South India, the so-called sanctum sanctorum, or in English we call altar, What is altar called as? I don't know what they call it. At least in Kannada they say it is called as Garbha Gudi or Garbha Griha it is called as. Why is it called as Garbha? Garbha means womb. Garbha means womb. So Krishna is a Nitya Garbha Vasa. Nitya Garbha. For him it is Nitya Garbha. Every living entity taking birth anywhere, it is the Lord taking birth. Because without the Lord coming out, the Jiva cannot come out. So therefore the Lord is manifesting his energies and sanctioning all these enjoyment to the Jivas through his energies. Without the Lord, nothing can happen. So therefore, he alone is the reason for everything to exist. Whatever it is, Devarshi, Pitra, Bhutanam, Aindriya, even the senses. For example, I am able to see. Am I able to see? Am I able to see? The eyes are seeing. Can the eyes see? No, Prabhuji. The mind is seeing. Can the mind see? No, Prabhuji. Jiva is seeing. Can the Jiva see? No. So what can it see? It has to see an object, the material object. But this material object, the form of a desk, this also is a Supreme Lord. Because without the Supreme Lord sitting here, without him reflecting the property of light, I cannot see the object. Is it not? How is the wood reflecting light? Where is the light coming from? That light also is Krishna. This wood also is Krishna. This ice also is Krishna. Who is perceiving that Jiva? Within that Jiva, enabling the Jiva to see everything, that is also Krishna. Jiva is not Krishna. You have to be careful of that. That's what Prabhupada is saying.
The potency of seeing.
Sorry, Maharaj.
The potency of seeing.
The potency of seeing is coming from Krishna. He is enabling the Jiva to see. See the wood. You wanted to see the wood. You want to taste prasadam. You want to smell something. All of this is enabled only by Krishna. So, Ekam Jagat Karana Vastu Akhilam. That is, Krishna is the only Jagat Karana Vastu. Therefore, Prabhupada writes, Sarvam Khalvidam Brahma. So, therefore, he alone is the cause of this material universe. Otherwise, there is no other cause. So, that is why in the Shastras, as I was saying, Janma and Mrityu. Janma means that which has become one. The Jiva comes into this matter. The matter starts evolving and there is a body that starts getting created. And that is happening because the Lord is inside it. And when the Lord exists, it becomes mrit. Mrit means what? What is mrit?
Clay.
Mrit means clay. That is why we say mridanga angam. Mrida angam. Mrit means made of clay. Mridanga means, mrida means made of clay. Mrit, mrinam. Mrin is the Sanskrit dhatu. Mrinmayam, made of clay. Mrit means mridangam, we say. Angam means body. Mrit means clay. Mridangam means made of clay. Mrityu means that which is a body becomes back into clay. All that has gone back. Mrityu means that it's not finishing of the soul. It is just mean the body was there. Now the body has gone back into the five elements. The Jiva is now going into another body. So it continues the cycle. So this Janma, Mrityu, all of these effects are studied in this verse to say that Abhideya Ekaha. Prabhupada says this entire cosmic manifestation is not false, but simply a temporary manifestation of your inconceivable energy. And why is this important? This is important because in the 9th chapter, Krishna says, Jnanam sa vijnanam. One has to understand this with jnana and vijnana. Meditate. This is one of the important aspects for devotees to understand that how do I perceive Krishna everywhere? Whatever form I am seeing, it is his form. It is only because of him I can see. It is only because of him I can even perceive certain objects. My senses are working because of him. These are his senses. If you see the second canto, Brahmaji, is it second canto or the third canto? Brahmaji is given a quick tour of Vaikuntha Loka. And there he sees all the five senses as energy serving the Supreme Lord. So the five senses are serving the Lord. The five tanmatras, for example, I smell a flower. When I smell a flower, the tanmatra, the perception of smell or fragrance, that also is made possible because of Krishna. I'm smelling the fragrance. The fragrance is Krishna. The flower is also Krishna. And this nose that I'm smelling is also Krishna. All this is enabled by Krishna's energy. When I say Krishna, we have to understand that it's the energy of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani najaham teshva avasthitaha. Krishna says, I am that, but I am still not that. Najaham teshva avasthitaha. Everything is within me, but I am not in everything. What it means is that he is there in this material universe, but he is not taking the material universe as ashray. Like for example, we are there in this building. This building is my shelter. So in the same way, Krishna is inside this body, but this body is not the shelter of Krishna. He is the shelter of this body. So this unique aspect Krishna tells, that he is there in everything, but he is the karana, he is the sanctioner, he is the dharana of everything. So that is what this verse is talking about.
Or the ability of those senses to sense.
Correct. The ability of the senses to sense.
Nose, it can't get the fragrance.
Correct. The ability of the pancha, the elements to emit their properties, like Gandhavati Prithvi, the ability of clay to emit fragrance, that also is Krishna's ability. So everything is Krishna's ability. Everything is the Supreme Lord's ability. So therefore, if we ekam tatvato gnatum, if this tatvato gnatum, if I understand this tatvam, that Krishna is behind everything that exists in this universe, and if I meditate him as the karanam to dheya, as the root cause of everything, then I will be able to appreciate that Govindam Adipurusham Sarva Karana Karanam. Then I will finally come to the point of understanding how magnanimous he is, that he stands still separate and manages the affair through his energies. So I will stop here. If there are any comments or realizations or questions that somebody wants to ask. Yes, ma'am.
Prabhu, with the fungus and also with the jivas born in sweat, is there any union of male and female of some species?
The amoeba, when we talk about amoeba, they say amoeba thrives, or these bacteria especially thrive on sweat. Now how do they procreate? They procreate by separating themselves or sometimes dividing themselves into two. Whether there is a father and a mother, Prabhupada, actually in the morning what Prabhupada tells to his disciple, that the sweat is the mother, the environment in which they procreate, like the bacteria in the sweat is dividing itself into two. The sweat is the mother anyways, because that is the environment in which the body is created into two. In the same way, the womb is the mother in one sense. So in the same way, who is the father? The father must be the ability that the bacteria has got from the Lord himself. So there must be some ability that the amoeba is given so that he can divide himself into two. Or the cell can divide himself into two. So therefore there must be a father and a mother. How they procreate, we don't know. Because we only know one or two types of Srishti. Srishti in this universe, again, there are many types of Srishti. The only Srishti we know is Sparsha Srishti. There is Shabda Srishti. There is Drishti Srishti. There is Shabda Srishti. There is creation because of sound, creation because of touch, creation because of sight. You know, Veda Vyasa created the three Pandus, which is Pandu, Dhritarashtra and Vidura, through sight. It was not Sparsha Srishti. We know only Sparsha Srishti, that is the touch of the senses or skin. But there are many other Srishtis that Brahmaji can create. Now, Brahmaji is creating so many living entities, so he is a master of Srishti. So like that. So there must be one of the type of Srishti that the bacteria follows or is endowed with because of the Lord Mataji.
I think they have both male and female nature in one only.
Yes.
So therefore they, yeah, whatever, they create
they divide,
and split.
Correct. So that energy of the Lord has been invested into them. So that is the understanding. So if there are no questions, we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari.